Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Now, we do want to focus on our children as well. We've obviously focused on the elderly during the week as well, and generally in the way we divided our nation. But obviously our children are extremely important and their mental health is very important. Child and adolescent mental health services in Ireland have been on the forefront of discussions, and promises have been there for far too long. Every day that goes by, concerned parents across the country await appointments for struggling children and teenagers, many of which have been significantly damaged on waiting lists due to the lack of CAMHS resources. CAMHS, for those who don't know, by the way, is a service provided for children and adolescents who are obviously finding mental health difficulties. That's exactly what it means. Now, the failures in funding and organising of our child and adolescent mental health services have been, articulated by the Mental Health Commission, our statutory mental health regulator, on various occasions. Nationally, 248 children and teens have been waiting more than 1 year for an appointment. That was reported back in April, by the way, so it's probably worse than that now. Imagine waiting more than a year for a child who's in a very vulnerable situation. And children's charity Bernardo said it's deeply concerning over the CAMHS waiting lists, and that it's unacceptable that children cannot access services in a timely manner, because of course they are the most vulnerable in society. And Bernardo's CEO, Susan Connolly, said in most cases children must wait for an initial assessment with CAMHS only to find themselves on another waiting list to access treatment. This means some children are left waiting over 2 years just to get treatment, and this is wholly unacceptable. So to talk to me a little bit more about it today, I'm joined by Emma Butler, who has a 9-year-old child, and she's been waiting for an appointment with CAMHS. Emma, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you?
Good. And I want to hear, by the way, if anybody else has been in that situation as well. They can contact us or text us at 087-188-0008. Describe your situation. You sent us an email, and I'd rather not just read out your email. I'd rather you just describe your own personal situation, if that's okay.
That's fine. I'm desperate. I'm in dire straits with my daughter.
Yep.
She has severe anxiety and even worse, severe OCD. Now, obviously, she hasn't been diagnosed with anything, but
yeah,
you know, the skin falling off her hands and bleeding is just the sign of the...
And she's 9, and why is the skin falling off her hands? Because she's constantly sanitizing her hands all the time.
Washing. And she'll wash with soap, and then she'll rinse, and then she'll say, oh, there's still soap on my hands, and she'll put more soap on to wash, and she's going through a pump soap every 2 days.
And I believe even her clothes, she won't let any of your other children touch her clothes,
exactly.
Only you can touch them.
Only I can touch her clothes. Only I can feed her. Only I am allowed in her room. But it's even more excessive, to the extent of 2 nights ago she had a dream that my other half touched her duvet cover. So therefore there's germs on her duvet cover. And last night she goes to bed with no covers.
And I saw in her email as well that she passed a sign for rat poisoning, I think, or something like that, in the area.
Yeah, that happened in September. Just not long after back to school, she passed a sign from, you know, Fingal County Council saying rat poisoning has been placed, you know, be careful.
Yeah, yeah.
And that set off 6 weeks of hell. Whereby,
and has she got, I mean, has she always been a little bit of a worrier? Because I was a worrywart when I was a child. Or has she got worse?
Yeah, a little worrier, in the sense of, like, she'd be nervous on Christmas Eve because Santa was coming.
Or, of course, yeah.
If she was watching National Geographic, which we had to stop about 3 years ago, she'd be dreaming about Tornado Alley and she'd be up that night.
Right, okay.
That kind of stuff. But
okay.
Since the build-up of the return to school, it's just now beyond control.
Her anxiety levels have gone through the ceiling.
The anxiety went through the roof.
It's shocking when you think about a 9-year-old having those kind of worries, isn't it?
Like, it's just, I can't even describe it to you at the moment. Like, she focuses on something. It was rust with back to school. It moved to food poison, and then it moved to rat poison. And it's like incessant questions like, thanks for my dinner, ma'am. Did you put rat poison in this? Did you put food poison in this? Am I going to die? Like, this was constant. I went to my doctor. They referred her to CAMHS. I was actually so desperate at one stage, I called CAMHS every day for the week.
How long did they tell you you'd be on a wait list in CAMHS?
They didn't. Okay. I spoke to one of the counsellors. He said, we don't give you a timeline, because obviously in front of her is the guys who comes from A&E.
Yeah.
And they must, of course, get priority. So they said they don't want to disappoint by telling you it's 3 months, it's 6 months, and then it gets extended because they've got extra people coming in from A&E.
I was shocked to see that over 248 children are over a year waiting just for a date.
I know that, and I'm devastated to hear that. I've already been back to my doctor who sent a second letter to CAMHS. Now, I don't mind waiting, Niall. I'll wait my turn, you know. I'm not pushing my daughter to the
front. Yeah, but see, the problem is, if it takes 9 months or whatever, or a year to get into CAMHS, and then CAMHS recommend you go and see such a body or an occupational therapist or whatever it happens to be, you could be waiting another 6 months then to get an appointment with them. So this could go on for years.
This is my problem. Like, I'm so desperate. I don't care if I have to beg, steal or borrow to see someone private. I've contacted people. They tell me she's A, too young, that they don't deal with children that young, or B, they're full. The HSE external to CAMHS, just the normal HSE psychologist, refused her last week because they have a 3-year waiting list, and they said that my daughter is too severe to be seen by them. She needs to be seen by CAMHS. And
you see, I had the same problem when my daughter was quite young, a good few years ago. Again, we had an appointment with CAMHS. It was going on forever. We ended up going privately. And don't get me wrong, it was very expensive, too expensive, to be honest with you. But it was the only way to get her seen to, because, unfortunately, that hasn't changed. It's actually got worse now.
I would love to go private. I can't afford it, but no, I don't care. I do it. But yeah. I can't get anyone. I just want her to be seen. Like,
Worried about her? You are worried about
her. I am, because
desperately, yeah.
When Coco's Law was in the news, she spent a week dreaming about bullying and that she was committing suicide. Now, I was petrified to ask her what she dreamt of, because I was afraid of what she'd tell me. Now, I know from CAMHS that the rate in 9-year-olds is literally zero. But what if my daughter is the first?
But it's upsetting. Are you okay, Emma? Sorry. But
I am okay.
Yeah, it's upsetting to even think of your daughter at 9 thinking of something like that.
I'm at the stage where I am not a professional. And now, in fairness to CAMHS, they recommend books for me to get for her. And we are working our way through the books, with the result of her anxiety has decreased, but her OCD has shot up.
Right,
so
okay.
It's not really making a difference to her. And I am at the stage now where, as a non-professional, I can only take her so far without professional help, and we are at that point. So she will not get any better, only worse, until I can get her to see someone.
And what about the COVID-19 itself? Is she worried about that?
No, I told you she was great during COVID, but
yeah.
The hype of the return to school is what started.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Like, are they going back? Aren't they going back? They will have to do this. They will have to do that. Maybe they'll go back. They're not. That started it. And when she was in school, then she was focused on rust. There's rust on my chair. You need to wash my jacket.
And I know what you mean, but she's one of these children who needs to know what she's doing and when she's doing it. And it must happen at the time you say it happens.
And she's quite, like, my son is not allowed into her room. He sits on the landing to talk to her. My other half, it happened this week. So I was in her room, the door was open, and he walked past on the landing, and she jumped up, put her two hands up in the air. I must wash my hands. The germs have come in the door now from him. The germs have come in the door. They're airborne. And I took 20 minutes to try and explain to her that this is not the case, or all the human race would be dead. But it's
difficult to see reason when you're that age and that frightened and full of that anxiety, of course.
And I'm trying my best to do what CAMHS have advised. Like, I understand you're anxious, I understand you're upset, but she's too far gone now for me to be of
your heart must be broken, Emma. Listen,
I'm devastated. I'm going in the middle of the night putting towels on her to keep her warm, because I can't bring blankets in from any other part of the house, because she won't use her duvet. I can't change the duvet cover every day. I'm already washing a jacket a day for her to wear outside.
And by the way, just to point out, because I don't want to ignore the fact that many parents listening around the country at the moment absolutely empathise with you, and they're probably in a very similar situation. But
I know.
And I want to empathise with you, because it's not just your daughter, because obviously she's a little person, and it's you that are the one looking at her. You're badly affected by this too, because your life has changed because of it.
I'm rushed off my feet. Like, my partner can't even help me in the house to do anything, because if she sees him touching a jumper of hers or anything, that's it, has to be washed again. And I feel bad for him, because she's kind of...
Because he wants to help. Yeah, he wants to help.
He can't. And all he can do is stay downstairs if she's upstairs. She won't come into the living room when we're all there unless I disinfect the couch.
Wait, can I ask you, if it's not a personal question, and you don't have to answer any questions, but where do you think this started? Is there a point where you think that it just suddenly just got worse?
I think, like, I don't blame COVID at all whatsoever. I don't think it's COVID related. I think for her, COVID was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah. That just compounded the problem, of course,
I feel it stems from myself and her dad are separated. We were divorced this year. And I feel it kind of stems from that. And she did really well.
Of course,
that
can have a huge psychological issue with children.
Exactly.
I understand that. I'm going through the same thing myself.
I feel that there was issues there, but she didn't say anything. She kept it all in. And then COVID hit, and that was just the end for her. It just got too much.
Yeah.
And this is the output of it.
And does she, can I ask, does she get on well with your partner, apart from the fact that she's worried about him touching everything?
Yeah. Until they walked past that rat poison sign.
Right.
Like, we got a puppy last, a Bernese Mountain Dog there in the run-up to last Christmas. And, like, if he was up on his lap, she'd run in and jump on top of them. No issue whatsoever.
Yeah.
No issue at all. Never even, any issue, I could say.
And have you tried Jigsaw? Have you heard of Jigsaw?
I've heard of them, yeah.
Yeah, I dealt with them in my own personal capacity with my daughter, and they're very good. And now I know CAMs are the ones that everyone goes to, but Jigsaw are quite good, and they do deal with children under the age of 18.
Okay, honest to God, when I get off this call, I'll be Googling them and calling them.
Yeah, Jigsaw, I think they're all over the country now. I know they're in Dublin. What part of the country are you in, Emma?
I'm in Swords.
Oh, okay, all right, perfect. So am I. All right. Well, there's a Jigsaw in Balbriggan.
Oh, great. Okay.
All right. Okay. So there's one there in Balbriggan, and they're wonderful people, and it's a counselling sort of thing, you know, for young children, and they're specialists. They know what they're doing, and they're very good people. And again, I think that's, as far as I'm trying to remember, I don't think you have to pay for it.
Like, I know that I can't do any more for her.
Yeah.
Because I'm not qualified, you know. I'm doing everything I can. I'm washing when she asks me. I'm disinfecting her phone or you name it, I'm disaffecting it. A school bag with wipes and stuff.
You wonder what brings a child to a point like that, you know what I mean? Because most children are running around acting the fool at that age, you know.
So she'll still go out and play on the road, but she'll come in and then all those clothes have to be washed
again.
The runners and all. And
would she she doesn't mind her friends touching her, or her friends, but would her friends give her a hug or something like that?
Yeah. Yes and no. That's a real Dutch answer.
Okay.
They will, she plays with her friends and stuff, and they know in school, you know, because she went through a phase in school of asking, is there rat poison in that? Will I die? If that touched off me, will I die? And, you know, they're a little, like, one or two of them, of course, understand that's an issue she's having at the minute.
Yeah.
But it's more, she kind of at the moment picks and chooses. She's associating my other half and my son with walking past the rat poison sign with her, therefore they're tainted. Now my son
the infected,
is a little
obviously,
bit
yeah.
getting into the circle a little bit, like he's getting improved.
I know. You will never, and I will never, and you will never understand the psychological thinking behind what she's doing and what she's thinking and why certain things make no sense and other things make sense. So there's no way we could understand that. And by the way, she probably doesn't even understand it in her own head. You know, she just knows or thinks that this is dangerous or what's dangerous.
My mom is begging me, bring her down to Mayo. We'll try and get her seen sooner, you know.
Yeah.
But I started a new job in September. I was laid off with COVID. Like, I don't have the leave to take to drive down, do the appointment, come back. Do you know that kind of way?
Well, Jigsaw would be perfect if you can get an appointment with them, and you should be able to, because I got them reasonably quickly with them as well. They're in Balbriggan, and they're there in the shopping centre, actually in the shopping centre of Balbriggan. What's the name of that shopping centre?
Mill.
As you go into Balbriggan on the left-hand side.
Yeah. The one with the Tesco.
Yeah, that's the very one. That's exactly where they are, all right?
And I just was trying to now highlight it and just...
Yeah, well, look, I'm delighted you did, because...
recommendation for me, I'll take it with 10 hands if I had them.
Yeah, well, look, I know the children's charity Bernardo's are very concerned about this situation too, situation like yours, because there are so many children, some who have had this before, but other children, by the way, who are suffering from anxiety because of COVID, because...
Yes, and that I understand. I just didn't want to...
I don't know how we brought children in the last 8 months. I don't know how we brought children into this. I don't want to go down the road of children should be seen, not heard, because that's certainly the case and certainly not what I believe. But I think sometimes we can give to children too much information.
Yes, that's true. And then they overthink stuff because
absolutely,
of all this information.
They're not capable
of
logic.
We didn't have the information when we were their age. And
absolutely. We didn't know about the stroke. I mean, when I was 10 or 11 years of age, I had no idea who the Taoiseach of the country was, or I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that I was going out to play with my mates, or I was going to school, and that's all I needed to know. And I think that's really important. But nowadays, with social media and everything else, and the internet and RTE are kind of telling us
to
be afraid.
News. We hadn't watched the news since in the run up to back to school. We couldn't, because every day it's just doom and gloom. And I was like, okay, this is bringing her down even more, you know?
Yeah.
And we went to Cyprus in September. And I think it was just the best week for her. I even rang my doctor to check, you know. She was like, yeah, she'll be fine. It'll be good for her.
And did she enjoy that, yeah?
She enjoyed it. She was a little bit, is that rust? Or, are you sure there's no rat poison?
She was apprehensive, yeah. And
but
how long, so it's September since she's been going on about the rat poison?
September. Yeah. We walked past the sign on the way home, and she just focuses on that. Now, as I said, her anxiety has eased off a little bit in terms of she doesn't focus so much on it, but the OCD is through the roof. Like, she walks like a crab out of the bathroom door so that she doesn't touch anything with her hands.
Right.
If you go in and she's asleep, and she's a light sleeper now, she didn't used to be, and if she hears you in the room while she's asleep, her two hands shoot up in the air in case they touch anything or you touch her hands. Like, it's just mind-boggling.
I know, and as a parent, that's very, very hard to understand.
Yeah, it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Like, my heart is broken for her, and then I'm wrecked because I'm the only one who can do everything.
I can imagine.
You know?
I've another message actually here from somebody. Hold on, let me just have a quick listen to this here for a second. Hang on.
Noel, what that lady is saying is actually scaring the life out of me at the moment, because my little lad has kind of developed something similar to that over the last few months. He constantly wants to wash his hands and sanitize his hands, and he's been basically leaving his hands red raw and bleeding, and the skin is cracking, and we had to bring him to the doctors, and the cream that the doctors gave healed it, but he's back at it now, and I'm just wondering, should I worry about it? Like,
well, maybe that, I understand a lot of kids at the moment are kind of afraid of COVID, and they shouldn't be, by the way, but they are afraid of COVID, and they're washing their hands. I mean, don't get me wrong, I know we're telling everyone to wash their hands, but obviously you have to use a level of common sense. Just to stay there for a second, because Breeda, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Breeda?
Hey, Niall, how are you?
You had a similar experience with your own daughter.
I did, yeah. It started when she was in primary school. She was getting bullied, and bullied by a particular teacher as well. And on a couple of occasions, she herself tried to take her own life.
Oh, how old was she?
She would have been 11.
Oh, my.
At the time.
Yeah.
She had a plan in place and everything, and I couldn't get her in anywhere. I was shouting from the rooftops, and I just could not get her in anywhere.
I'm assuming you went to CAMHS as well, did you?
I had, yeah, and they basically had said at the time that no, that they don't feel that she needs to come and see us.
Oh my God.
So obviously she wasn't there. She was, and that was after waiting for months to actually get somewhere. So then I was still sitting around going, what am I going to do? I have an 11-year-old here, and I can't sleep. I'm petrified that she's going to do something at night. I was leaving the door open just in case I could hear her doing something during the night. And I then got on to Pieta House. We had got her then eventually in there. She was discharged then from there after 6 sessions. And then it started all over again.
And apart from, obviously, the ideation that she had, did she display any symptoms similar to, I suppose, what Emma was talking about? You know, the kind of washing hands, afraid of people, afraid of touching people.
No, her way about it was, she just didn't want to speak to anybody. She was hiding herself away from everybody, and she was trying to deal with it herself without upsetting us.
At 11, yeah.
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 Whereas, like, I mean, myself and her have a great relationship. We have a very open relationship. I nearly always know when there's a low point there. She has, her arms are absolutely destroyed where she has tried to do her wrists. I had her there. Then I had her with another crowd here in Skerries. I can't even think now of the name of them.
Okay.
Off my head.
Did it work for you?
There was going okay. Again, you're only entitled to a certain amount of sessions. And then I got her back into CAMHS after being in Temple Street with her. I had to got her back in then to CAMHS. And she done grand there. And then she was.
Why were you in Temple Street with her? Sorry, you went.
Because she could not say whether she was going to do something that night or not. She was that low.
Oh,
and the doctor just said no. Take straight into Temple Street. So that's where we went. And then with the transition then from primary school to secondary school, we were very concerned about that. And she had fell out with all our friends, and just, she was pushing everybody away.
Yeah.
That was her way. Push everybody away, stay in the room, in the dark, hood up, just not wanting to communicate with anybody. She spent a whole summer, 2 summers ago, in that room. From the day they finished school till the day she started back to school, she spent the whole summer in that room.
And would she go out, if you asked her to go out, say, in the car with you or whatever, or go for a walk with you, would she go out with you?
I kind of, you'd be nearly having to bribe her to come
right
out in the car. And
was she on? I'm wondering, is there some sort of contributing factor? Was she on technology? Like, would she had a phone or a tablet? Or
she did.
Okay,
and she does.
Emma, does your daughter have a phone or tablet?
She does, Niall. But she, since all this started, she herself removed TikTok off her phone.
Okay. Well, see, what I'm thinking here is, right, when we go back to our days, and I don't know how old both of you are. Okay. When we go back to our days, we didn't have that technology,
and
I didn't know, and I'm pretty sure most people of my age at the time, up to about 13 or 14, we didn't even know what the word suicide was.
No, and. It's frightening listening to that lady, because my daughter is in her room because she won't come down because of all the germs of us. And she's in her room every day. She comes home from school, she does her homework and she sits in there. She goes to her dad for an hour, she comes home and she sits in there all evening until bed.
Yeah.
Now she's on the phone,
that's the problem as well. She is in the room. She's petrified in the room. If she leaves the room.
Yeah.
The room is her safe haven.
Exactly, and if the door is all closed, everything is A-okay, and that's frightening me now. Like, you know, just listen, I want to get her, I want to cut that off before I get that far, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, somebody says here, please pass on details to that lady. My daughter suffered from anxiety, who was also 9. Our doctor referred us to Lucina Clinic, and we were waiting maybe 3 months, but extremely good and would highly recommend them. Okay, well, we don't worry, Aisling, we'll give you all the details.
Oh,
okay. She'll get you all those details. But a lot of people are recommending different things you can do.
Daughters of Charity in Millfield, I know you were saying there about Jigsaw, but Jigsaw wouldn't take my daughter because she wasn't 12.
Now, okay, so is there an age limit on Jigsaw? I didn't
there
know
is
that.
12 and up.
Okay.
All right, okay, that's new criteria.
But they, now I have to say, they were very nice. They had rang me a couple of occasions, knowing that I was still waiting to get her somewhere. They had rang me on a couple of occasions and said, look, if you can't get anywhere, we'll see what we can do to help. But then we got her into the Daughters of Charity in Millfield Shopping Centre in Balbriggan.
Okay.
And that just seemed to, I don't know, she's been doing really good since she's finished there. She finished there towards the end of the last lockdown. She finished there. Now, through the whole lockdown, she was having phone calls every week off her counsellor down there.
Yeah.
And since she has finished there now with her, this time, touch wood, she's doing absolutely brilliant. To me, when she was finishing up in places with her counsellor, it was like the safety net was gone. But just this time around, she's totally different. She's out now a good bit with her friends. There is an odd day she just feels low and down and stays in, but nowhere near to what she was doing.
I mean, somebody suggested here, Emma, too, and it's something you may look into, because obviously I did it at the time with my own daughter as well. It says, my son is 12 now. When he was 9, he was the same. Washing hands 50 times a day, asking to open a door so he wouldn't have to touch the handle, etc., etc. And then he was bullied in school. And I wonder, is there same kind of thing in that kid's mind after maybe some sort of psychological trauma? Okay, so the point I think Emma is saying is, will there be something going on that you're not aware of? And I know you have a good relationship with your daughter, but sometimes kids are very good at hiding things. I mean, have you looked into, maybe are they being bullied online? Because somebody said, look, why don't those two ladies just take the technology off their children?
Yeah.
There is an argument for that, don't get me wrong.
100%. I know. Obviously, her teacher filled out the paperwork for me for CAMHS, you know, their side of things. So I've been in contact with her. She's aware of it. She's great. I don't think it's bullying related, but there's been changes in her life. Like her dad's girlfriend and her little son moved into the apartment, say, I can't remember when, but in the last 6 months, definitely. And that's a change for them to get used to another child and little things like that. Yes, that's all been happening. And, you know, it's not a problem, of course. They're great people, you know. Those little things play on their mind. And I know from the divorce myself, or the separation got leading up to it, my children liked to know. And what I mean by that is, they don't like to be left wondering, am I going to dad's this day? It's this day. And, you know, they like to know.
Yeah, they want certainty in their lives. Absolutely. And by the way, can I ask you, because I'm running out of time, Breda, how's your daughter now?
She's doing really well now. She's with a different group of friends and she is doing really well. There is hope. But as I said in the text message when I sent it in, shout and do not be afraid to shout. You're doing this for your child. You don't need to be on the phone, be all nice to services out there just to try and get your daughter in. They're not there for niceness. You need to shout and shout loud and get your daughter the help that she deserves.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, go to your local TD. Well, look, we have a couple of recommendations for you too, Emma, but go to your local TD as well.
I've done that, Niall.
Yeah, okay.
I've been before.
And try that, maybe try that one that Breda mentioned, which in Balbriggan.
Yeah.
What was the Sisters of Charity?
The Daughters of Charity.
Okay.
Yeah, the gym part is in Millfield.
All right, well, listen, thank you very much indeed, Breda, for sharing that story with us. Emma, I hope things work out for you, and a couple of people texting in bits and pieces there, and Aisling will give you those. Just
thank you, Niall, for having me on. You don't know how much of a help even it is. Thank you so much.
No, and look, it's good to talk to other people. And look, if it means anything at all, I could read out loads and loads of texts of people in very similar situations, you know,
thank
and listen
you so
to
much.
Your story, and they're in exactly the same situation as you.
I appreciate it.
All right, listen.
Thank you.
All right, see you. Thanks very much indeed. There you go, Emma and her 9-year-old daughter.